All right, good morning, y'all, as the Southerners would say, y'all. Hey, lock the doors. I don't want anybody leaving. I had threats of people leaving because I was speaking today. All right, this is, I had threatened Ron a few times about speaking on nutrition, and he thought, well, you know, you gotta hold off on that, he said, because you don't want to make sure that it's biblical. Well, I've done lots of research on this, and it's very something that's, I don't know, you know, you see all your loved ones that get cancer, you see people with sugar diabetes, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse as we go along. And I guess my thoughts were, and I thought, well, you know, you look on Facebook and they're always looking for, people are always saying, you know, we need to cure cancer. And I often thought, well, has God left us with no answers to these? I don't believe that he has. And if, is this ringing? Just me. A little bit of ringing. I don't believe that God has left us with no answers. And in his book, if we go back to the very beginning, God gave us a diet. And like the author of this book, if anybody's ever read this book, The Maker's Diet, awesome book. The author here, Jordan Rubin, was a young man. I'll just give you a brief synopsis of his life. He was a very healthy young man. He was 19 years old, just graduated from high school and was in college. And he came down with Crohn's disease. And he wasn't obese. He wasn't, you know, he looked pretty normal. And he became very sick and was sick for, I can't remember how many years. His family sent him all over the world looking for cures for this disease. And he, at one point, in this book here, it shows a picture of him. He weighed 112 pounds, I believe, at the time. He was 6'2", and he said to his mother, he said, I want you to take a picture of me. And she said, I don't want to take a picture of you. You look terrible. And he said, yes, I do, but I want people to see what I looked like before I get better. And he had found a gentleman out in California that was had done a lot of study in God's Word about what God would have us do for our diets. So he went out and he lived with his family, and he had laid down the ground rules when he went out there to do as he said, you know, and to read and do everything that he had asked. And he said, if you do this, then God will heal you. And he was healed. Within not even a year, he had gained back 50 pounds and was what he is today. I mean, he's a nice-looking, strapping young man. And I started kind of looking into this. As you get older, as most of us are getting up in age, I'm close to 60. I'll be 60 this year. You know, you're starting to have aches and pains. And you're thinking, Jesus, priest, I'm only 60 years old. And I say to my mom, I don't know what I'm going to be like when I'm 80 years old. But so you start looking into what's the common thread through all of our lives. And a lot of it, of course, is our diet. And God did give us answers. The other thing that I have for issues, just to tell you all of my problems, I have in time, in the past few years, I have gotten an eye disease, which has affected my right eye. And the people that go golfing with me realize that I can't see as well as they can. It affects the very center of my vision. The retina is blurry. And they had said that if it's possible that it could affect my other eye. And if that happens, then God forbid, I won't be driving or reading or anything like that. So it kind of makes you think about what can you do to help yourself. And I had asked the doctors that. I said, is there anything that I can do to help myself? And, of course, the doctors in their schooling get very little nutritional education. You can ask any of them. They may have had a few classes in nutrition, but it's the schools for our doctors are run by the pharmaceutical companies, and they basically only know the drugs. God created man in his own image. This is in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And this last part is the real crux of it. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. He created us very different than the other animals in the kingdom. He gave us a soul, and he gave us our bodies as well. And we need, I mean, this is the only body you're going to get. I happen to think of, you know, a lot of times I have equipment and trucks and tractors and all that stuff, and when those things break, we have to go looking for parts for them. Well, when these bodies of ours break, it's a little harder to go to the store and find parts for them. And it's very expensive if you have to go to the hospital. So it only benefits us if we try to take care of what God has given us. Romans 14:12. Is that what we got up there? Yeah. Okay. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to bring that out as a disclaimer that, yeah, we are to take care of these bodies, but it's not what's going to get us into heaven. We can only get there through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. We can't find salvation in what we eat, which is a good thing. And a lot of what is in the Bible, it talks about whether we should eat meat or whether we shouldn't eat meat. And a lot of that stemmed from, in the Old Testament, of course, they were sacrificing a lot of animals at the time, and some of them were sacrificed on the altar to idols. And that was the big debate back then, was whether or not they should be eating that meat or not. And so, thankfully, we don't have to deal with that. But there are a lot of other things that have cropped up in our own society that we should be aware of. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God." So glorifying God in what we eat and what we drink. Hadn't really thought of that. And like I said, in the earlier times when they eating their diet, it was important to the Israelites that God gave them this map, so to speak, so that when they were traveling, leaving Egypt, God was going to take care of them in that at that time, both with their food and with their hygiene. And I found this interesting when I was doing this research for this, that Egypt was a lot like the U.S. Could it be that we here in America have accepted the curses of Egypt instead of the health promises of God? That's an interesting question. With our society the way it is, television, and we get bombarded by advertisements for sweets. Everything, they say that if you took all of the things in our grocery store that have sugar in them, you would have 20% of the produce left in the store. That's how much our diets have changed. And like I said, God did give us answers in his word, and we'll dig into that and see where we're at. Exodus 15:26. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and his laws, then I will not make you suffer the diseases that I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who hears you. So right there is a promise from God to the Israelites that he would not make them suffer diseases. And like I said, when we listen to the ways of this world, the advertisements and all this stuff, it would tend to want us to do otherwise. And in my study Bible, on that particular verse, I found this interesting. I'll read this to you because it's probably in small print up there. But it says, God promised that if the people obeyed him, they would be free from diseases that plagued the Egyptians. Little did they know that many of the moral laws he later gave them were designed to keep them free from sickness. For example, following God's laws against prostitution would keep them from venereal diseases. God's laws for us are often designed to keep us from harm. Men and women are complex beings. Our physical, emotional, and spiritual lives are intertwined. Modern medicine is now acknowledging what these laws assumed. If we want God to care for us, we need to submit to his directions for living. So that last part, very important. We need to submit to him for our directions for living. And one of my favorite verses that I read quite often in the morning is Psalms 139, chapter 139, verse 14. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And if any of you have ever looked into how the human body is designed, it's just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just the eyeball alone, having had eye problems, and to see how our diets affect the little blood vessels that are in each part of our body. If those are compromised, then it can mess up your vision, it can mess up your hearts, it can mess up your livers, all kinds of different things. So God had a reason for giving us his diet. And like I said, I mean, nobody's going to go to hell for eating some sugar or whatever you enjoy in life, as I certainly do enjoy those things myself, but you got to tone it down, I guess. All right. The choice between life and death. In Deuteronomy 30:19-20, Moses challenged Israel to choose life, to obey God, and therefore to continue to experience his blessings. God does not force his people, his will on anyone. He lets us decide whether to follow him or to reject him. This decision, however, is a life or death matter. God wants us to realize that this, for he wants us to realize this, for he would like us to choose life daily. In each situation, we must affirm and reinforce this commitment. And the Bible talks a lot about self-control. I mean, God wants us to have self-control in our sexual lives. He wants us to have self-control in our eating, whatever we're doing. It only benefits us. He doesn't do these things to punish us. You know, he doesn't say, well, you can't have this because it would be too good for you. It's because it usually harms us. So that's kind of why he wanted us to do the things that he wanted us to do. I looked this up because I thought, well, if God gave these people this diet, and if they're still following it, then they should still be healthy. So I thought, well, I'll look up Israel and see where they're ranked as far as the healthiest nations in the world. And this is what came up. According to the World Health Rankings, Israel is still in the top 10 of 169 countries in terms of overall health. And one of the things I found interesting was they said you could go online and look at pictures of Orthodox Jews just to see what they look like. And there were none of them that I could see online that were large like most of us here in the United States. If you watch the news, I mean, it's on there all the time. The U.S. is ranked 35th. And with life expectancy of 85.8 years, we are ranked 64th to be able to even make it that far in the world. And some of the other top countries as far as health was concerned were found to be in around the Mediterranean area because of the Mediterranean diet, of which is very similar to what God had wanted us, you know, the fruits and the nuts and the vegetables. Is a lot of what they do over there. And I know that I thought of different things that, you know, God wants us to drink lots of water, but it also says that we should drink a little wine. It's good for the stomach. Whether you like wine or not, that depends on you, but it's in the Bible. I knew that some people in the church that do like wine would say, there you go. That's where we're going to get it from. All right. One of the things that he brings out in this book, he is also a Messianic Jew. So he grew up with the Jewish diet. And he, and I have to confess that I do like pork. I love bacon and that type of stuff. But he does bring out a good point. And I put down the first Bay of Pigs because when Jesus drove out the demons, they had asked if they could go into the pigs. Well, the pigs, of course, ran down the embankment and into the bay and drowned. So he brings out in his book that if should we be eating anything that Jesus cast demons into? Interesting thought, I thought there. And I found this online, the Mosaic diet, which is way back in Genesis, obviously, that Moses had written, talked a lot about the clean and the unclean animals. And this study was done in 1953 by Dr. David Macht of the Johns Hopkins Research. It conducted toxicity levels of these different kind of animals, of fish and whatever, and he found this to be exactly as the, you know, Bible had said, that these animals are clean and unclean because of what they eat. Like pigs, he brings out that pigs don't eat just vegetation. They sometimes will eat their little ones. Say if they were sick or something, they eat. They sometimes will eat other animals. And it seems that he didn't want us to eat other animals that ate animals. He wanted us to eat animals that ate vegetation, which I found interesting. And one of the other ones is Hippocrates, which I didn't know about Hippocrates. I mean, I'd heard his name a few times, but till we start looking into different things that we should be doing and shouldn't be doing when it comes to our diet. And he was called the father of medicine. Hippocrates was born in 460 BC on a small island off the coast of Greece. He is well known for a lot of things in the medical field. The Hippocratic Oath, of which most doctors swear to, which is to willingly do no harm to their patients, and also let food be thy medicine and medicine thy food, kind of tells you a lot about where we're at. I mean, we haven't really gone far as in time from when he was around till now. We seem to have strayed further and further from the truth as to what we should or should not be doing. What the pharmaceutical companies try to do, they can't. A lot of the pharmaceutical companies obviously are into drugs, and they want everybody to be on drugs because they make more money that way. But the The problem with that is that, see, they can't patent anything that's natural that God gave us. They can't patent it. They can't make money on it. So they try to change it, tweak it just a little bit to make a drug, but it never is as good as what God has given us as far as our nutrients and our things that our little cells in our bodies need. And some of the doctors over the years have thought about this Hippocratic Oath and have changed their ways of dealing with these things, because they could see that over time, the drugs that these companies have been forcing on us weren't doing the trick. I mean, especially with the cancer, I'll call it the cancer industry. The only thing that our country will let us do is chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. They don't try to tell you to, you know, try using natural things. If you want to use natural things, you've got to do that on your own, and it's very expensive. And that's why a lot of people end up not doing natural things, unless you can afford to go to, say, Mexico or a different country to get the help that you need for natural cures, unless you do your own research. I mean, there is a lot of research online for helping us through these different things. And one of the doctors that is probably pretty ridiculed, I would say, because a lot of doctors that have gone away from traditional medicine are ridiculed, much like us Christians. They're basically, you know, said that they're quacks and whatever, unless you dig in and find out more information on them. One of them I had written down was Dr. Mercola from Florida. He's really into natural healing and has tried to help a lot of people online with different things like that. So we need to be thinking outside of the box when it comes to our health. And just a short history of how we ended up where we're at. Back in 1955, before I was born — I was born in 59, our then President Eisenhower had a heart attack. And so our government had asked different scientists, and they had scientists from the different realms of our diets. One was more informed about fats and another one on sugar. And when they got done doing their study, they and whether that was brought about by people from the food industry wanting things to turn towards not so much sugars, but the fat side of it. And that was when our country went into the low-fat parts of saying that that's what we needed to do. We needed to have less fats in our diets. And if you do your research, that's the exact opposite of what should have happened. The sugars we don't need, and the fats we do need, and God brought that out in his diet in the back of the... Yeah. And one of the things that I had written down here, it says, when the food industry removed the fat from our foods, they found out that the foods tasted quite a bit like cardboard. So a lot of people weren't eating the low-fat foods, so they figured the best way to fix that would be put sugars into our foods. So consequently, that is why a lot of the processed foods nowadays, which a lot of people would call not even food, have sugar in them to make them taste better, and consequently has caused a lot of health problems with our society. And I bring this out because I think, you know, our our bodies God gave us, like I said, and it only benefits us to try to eat better and take better care of ourselves so that we can in turn help other people. If you're caught up in how you feel terrible, it's kind of hard to try to help somebody else. Our immune systems need good food to fight off bad toxins to keep us from getting sick. And a lot of our problems also stemmed from I know that I've had antibiotics. And antibiotics in our stomachs, which is also called our second brain, there are more nerves in your gut than you have in your brain. And that's why they call our guts our second brain. You know how when something bad happens in your life and all of a sudden your stomach does a flip and you feel like you're going to get sick to your stomach? Well, that's your nerves telling you, to be aware. So there's a lot to what God has intended for our bodies. And also, one of the things I found interesting, because we have so much sugar in our diets, God did give us good sweeteners. And honey is mentioned 61 times in the Bible. But it also says, and I found that interesting, was that God told us not to eat too much of it or it will make you sick. Much like our sugars are doing to us, they're making us sick. And I know that Erlyn and I have switched over to stevia. And some people don't like stevia because of the taste of it or whatever, but that comes from a plant. And Erlyn actually had one of the plants, and you could take one of the leaves off and eat it, and it was very sweet. And they have also found that stevia helps with Lyme disease. It helps to fight against that disease when it comes to different things that would help us with that. We need all the help we can get because we know that Lyme disease is taking quite a hold on the Northeast here. And one of the things that in some of the documentaries, we've watched a ton of documentaries on health. But one of them I watched just recently, it talked about the sugars that are in our diets. And a lot of it has to do with the drinks that we decide that we like because of the sweetness of them. And one of them that I was watching last night, they took one 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, and it has 69 teaspoons of sugar in one bottle of Mountain Dew. And the other one that I watched the other night, they had a 17-year-old kid that lived in Kentucky, and that part of the woods is very, very poor people. They tend to drink a lot of soda. And at 17 years old, he was going to have 26 of his teeth removed because his teeth were turning black and rotten. I don't really think this is what God intended for us to do to these bodies, was to destroy them in this fashion. But I mean, and it's basically because we're not educated in the things that we should or should not be doing. And I mean, that's just one drink that is now available to so many people, not just in our country, but they've also found out that some of the Aboriginal tribes in Australia who had very good diets, they found that the primitive people had good diets and were very healthy. They had very low cancer rates, they had no diabetes, they had none of the problems that our countries and developed countries are finding true. But since Coca-Cola has come there and has put these drinks into their stores, they have huge amounts of problems now and are realizing that this is the cause of it and are trying to
turn things around as far as what their diets are doing. Because one of the things that, because of my eye problem, I had looked into a natural cure for my eyes. And one of them, this, I'll just tell a short story about this guy. He was a Christian, and his wife was losing her vision. And she was so upset about it, and they had a young family, that she wanted to kill herself. And he had prayed about it and prayed about it, and he was in the some sort of National Guards. I'm not sure what branch of it was, but he was very concerned about his wife's health and her well-being. And at the same time, God had sent him, or his branch of the service was sending him to Australia to do some research on drug running, and he was down there to help them with that. Well, while he was down there, he was working with one of the native Aborigines, and he noticed that this, he was a little upset that God was sending him away at this time while his wife was in such a dire straits. But as he found out that God had a plan. And when he went there, he was working with this gentleman, and he was a native of that area, and he was an Aboriginal tribe member. And they were on the shoreline, and they were looking for drug runners. And he said to this gentleman, he said, "Oh, there's a boat out on the horizon," and he said, "We need to be aware that that's probably a drug boat." Well, he looked out, and he couldn't see anything. So he got his binoculars, and he looked out, and he could just barely see this boat coming in. So he thought, "Oh my gosh, what kind of eyesight does this guy have?" So they took care of that problem, and later on he asked him, he said, "How is it that you have such good vision?" And he said, "Well, it's because of our diet." So he said, "Well, I'd be interested in finding out what your diet is." So he gave him their tribe's diet list of foods and stuff that they ate, and of course a lot of it was from native to that country. And so for him to bring that home to his wife to see if he could fix her eyes, he had to get a lab technician to break down those foods and see what was in them so that he could help his wife. And to make a long story short, he ends up finding the diet that she needed, and she was able to cure herself of her eye problems, and her eyes were healed and still has her vision to this day. But, you know, God was at work there in his life and his wife's life and to find those answers. So honor God with your body, mind, and spirit. Your physical body is all that you have in this life to carry around the spirit that dwells within you. And I happen to think that Satan is here to steal, kill, and destroy. So it would only make sense to me that he would have us get all mixed up in our diets and having us worrying about our health and our future. And even mothers that are pregnant with children, one of the videos I was watching last night was a mother that was pregnant with a young child. She had already had two, and she found out that because of her diet, she ended up with diabetes, and it affected her child. And consequently, this child had problems because of that. So it's not just affecting our own bodies, but our bodies of our children as well, and what we are telling them that they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And she found it very hard for her to try to break her family of the sugar habit when everywhere we go, birthday parties, church, functions, anything, we're always serving sweet stuff. That's what we do as a society, unfortunately, but maybe we should be rethinking some of these things. Because, you know, granted, fruits have sugars in them, but they are better sugars than the worst sugar is the white sugars that we buy they call it white death, basically. And God also talked a lot about not only what we should eat, but he talked a lot about fasting, which is interesting to me because I was trying to get my weight down. And one of the only ways that I could find to do it, I was talking with Steve and doing intermittent fasting, which definitely helps. And it talks a lot about giving your body a chance to heal, you know, eating good foods, not eating, and giving your body a chance to digest and get rid of, you know, your wastes. Because every day you have billions of cells in your body that die and have to be cleansed out and taken out, as well as the foods that we eat. And I'll just read this. Not only do we need good food that God has given us, but we also are told to fast and pray. And here are just a few benefits of fasting. It improves your energy. It helps to break addictions. It helps in depression. It cleanses your body and gives it time to heal. Improves your sleep. Improves your cardiovascular response, which was what I needed. And reverses signs of aging, which also need. As we get older, we tend to get more signs of aging. This was interesting that I found in this book as well, The Maker's Diet. He talks about the obscure race of people attempting to cross the Sinai Peninsula about 3,500 years ago received a highly advanced system of disease prevention and medical hygiene. The people following these instructions somehow escaped the communicable diseases and social ills that devastated other civilizations over the millennia as they were promised. And I happen to think of C.S. Lewis. I think one of the things, if I'm not mistaken, that turned his life around was in reading God's Word, he was intrigued with how God looked to the Jews and protected them. Even though other nations had come up against them, God was always there for his people. And because of their choices, sometimes they suffered, but it was because of their choices. And what I was going to read in here was a little bit of what Jordan had written about the Israelites. just to give you a... This starts out, it talks about this person. He was a former U.S. Army flight surgeon and family practitioner, noted that in the mid-14th century, bubonic plague wiped out one-fourth of Europe's population in just a few years. It returned repeatedly over the next 250 years, killing nearly a fourth of London's population in 1603. The England lost nearly half of its total population to this plague. Read history's record of how the Jewish people faced it. So this plague that was ravishing this whole area, the Jews were not affected. And the reason being is because God had told them way back in the beginning of with Moses how to keep clean and how to take care of themselves. And I happen to think of on the news, they were talking about some of the homeless people that are out in these big cities and the conditions are not clean. You know, they've got human waste and needles and everything else, and they've got all these different diseases that we've conquered in this country are starting to crop back up. And it's because of the hygiene that God had told his people how to take care of themselves. And I just happen to think, what an awesome God we have that would think ahead. He knew what was coming down the road for his people and how that just that simple hygiene and how we to take care of ourselves and our diets would keep his people even though other nations. And it got to the point, evidently, that the other countries thought, well, maybe this is caused by the Israelites. It's not affecting them, so they must be causing this. Well, as we know, that wasn't the case. It was God had told them ahead of time how to take care of themselves, and they did so. Our digestion is the same now as it was back then. And he brings out in this book that our digestive system and our immune systems are the same as the people back in the earlier days of the Bible. It says right here. With impeccable logic, Josephson adds, did anything biologically happen to the swine since the Bible times? Or did the digestive tract of man have some kind of miracle transformation? No, the Bible's science and experience have all proven to the contrary. So we need to, you know, rethink some of the things that we do, I guess. If you ever hope to be counted among the world's healthiest peoples, we must leave behind our disease-producing diets and lifestyle and return to our Creator's dietary guidelines as incorporated in the Maker's diet. Make the most of this life. There are a lot of resources out there to tap into in the to find answers for our broken bodies. Documentaries, books, internet, and back that up with God's Word. Because that was one of the things that got me thinking, was there's got to be something in God's Word that would give us the right answers. Because in every other aspect of life, there's certainly answers that we find in His Word. And I just thank Him for His Word. A few of the things that I had written down, I do a lot of reading in Psalms and Proverbs most every day. And one of them that I happened to see just recently was Psalms 104, 14 through 15. It says about God, you cause the grass to grow for cattle. And that, to me, is important right there, just because what has happened in our country is the beef industry has taken our cows out of the fields and have put them in these feeding stocks. And they've done experiments on cows on how, and I know that you have seen on the news different times when we've had E. coli in our food. And a lot of it's because of they're trying to feed the cows in these feed stocks just grains. And their bodies weren't made for that. One of the documentaries we watched, they actually had a hole this big in the side of a cow so that they could watch the digestive system of that cow and how these grains were affecting these cows. And I just thought that was so bizarre to see the treatment of these animals in these feedstocks, whereas God had told them that your cows need to be in the pasture and they need to be eating grass, because that's what He intended. And also it says in the same verse here, you cause the plants to grow for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, and olive oil for their skin, and bread to give them strength. When I first started reading this verse, I thought, olive oil for the skin. So I started using olive oil on my skin, and my wife thought I was a little bit of a fruitcake for doing just that. But I thought, hey, if God says it's good enough for me to use on my skin, then why shouldn't I use it? So I have, and I've consequently, in times, we've also shifted over to using coconut oil. And one of the other things that's interesting, there was a woman who was a doctor, and she is into the natural cures for diseases. And she did everything that she was, you know, had read about and was eating properly and whatever, and she still came down with breast cancer. And she thought, well, how did this happen? I've been doing everything that I'm supposed to do. Well, in her research, she found out that most of our deodorants that we put on our bodies have aluminum in them. So if you read your labels, you're going to find that yours probably has aluminum in it, and men aren't so susceptible as women are with breast cancer, but men can get breast cancer. And a lot of that, they think, has to do with putting this underneath your arms, and then it comes into your breast area and affects your breasts. So we need to be very careful with what we put on our body as well as what we put on and eat. They say that if you can't eat it, then you shouldn't be putting it on your skin. And one of the other verses in Psalms, also in 104, he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. And this is what is interesting. There were no sick or feeble people among them. No sick or feeble people. So God does take care of his people. Let's see. Where are we on here? One more. All right, last but not least. This is your decision. I mean, what we do with our bodies is obviously hours and hours alone. It does affect our families and what have you, but ultimately, you affect your own bodies. And thankfully, because of what we eat, it doesn't affect our salvation, which is important also. But in this life, if you want to feel good and you want to make it through a good many years, then we need to be thinking about what we put into them. So I thought this is interesting. Even if you're the most intelligent person in the world, if you fail to fuel your body properly, your brilliant intellect may be dimmed or extinguished through poor nutrition and poor lifestyle decisions. And I've often said, and I won't use any names, but some of you know the gentleman that works with me. He's learning disabled. And I've often thought, I've watched him eat every day, and he eats the most terrible stuff that you could imagine. Unless he comes to my house and we have lunch and I feed him a salad or something, but he eats soda and chips and candy bars. And because of his learning disabilities, he's not stupid, but I think I can't help but think what he would be like if he actually had a good diet and could think clearer. But someday maybe I'll do that experiment on him. So I just want to leave you with that. I hope that I haven't offended anybody, and I just want people to be healthy, and I think that God wants us to be healthy as well. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us a path, Lord God, a path that would lead to better health, physically, mentally, spiritually. Lord Jesus, we need to be all that we should be for your sake. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and thank you for your goodness. And in Jesus' name, amen.
So we're all going to go home and purge our refrigerators and our closets, right? Thanks for the information, Nate, because it is important, and nutrition is part of, it's important, very important. So, well, we're going to close with one more song, so please rise with us. Do Da-da-la-da-da. Yeah. Take the whole team. To say you are mighty. You are mighty to save, Lord. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for this wonderful day and for this wonderful life we have. Lord, help us to go out and make the best of it, to be you to the world, your hands, your feet. And bless us this week as we move along in our daily lives. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful day.